And welcome to the Toddcast. We are back. This is episode 124 of our awesome legacy numbering. I am John with you as always. With me this week is Tim, who is here almost all the time now anyway. So it's good.
You really like me.
What? They're lying, I swear. So firstly, just some NDC cleanup and selfless promotion. First, thanks to everybody who came out for the quarter book sale at the Mills. It was very well received. It was awesome. We may or may not do that event some other time in a couple weeks. We'll see how it goes. So, but thank you again for coming out. It was awesome. You guys bought a lot of books. It was great. Thanks everyone who came out for Free Graphic Novel Day last Saturday. That was huge and awesome. I had a blast. I don't know about you, Tim. Were you even there?
I was there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I think we did like 185 transactions or something like that.
Yeah, it was busy. I loved it. It was good.
We did more this year than we did last year. And this year, we're only open 12 to 7. And last year was still the full schedule back then. So it was a 10 to 9.
Right.
For this year in less hours, which was thank you, everybody, because that was awesome.
Well, I think last year we all forgot to do it, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
People saying he thought we did it last year.
No, I'm pretty positive we did not do it last year.
It was the year before before we moved.
I'm pretty sure we forgot to do it last spring, and then we definitely didn't do it last fall. But if we did do it, that's awesome.
I remember setting tables up more than once down here. So
right.
Remember if it was in this building or in the Old Navy one. So
right.
It was a lot of fun.
It was great though. Everybody had a blast. I was at the Mills. We sold a lot of graphic novels. It was great. I saw some people picking up some really good stuff. It was good times. One guy bought like 6 volumes of something, so he ended up with 7 books off the tables. It was awesome.
I know Ron, I think Ron was telling me this was how he's been getting, I think it was Ron, how he's been getting his Witch Blades. He would get one and the next time come back and he'd get the next Witch Blade.
That's awesome.
Yep.
All right, so this, about a week, not this weekend, but the weekend after that, we're doing our Fill a Box event. So don't forget to come out for that. That's every store. All the dollar boxes, you can fill a long box for $2.50 plus tax. It's going to be a good time. Just so you guys know, the stores with the most dollar books are Elwood has the most. Then Waterfront, then Ohio, then Mills, then Butler, and then I will be in Cranberry pending it not raining with some tables and a van full of dollar books to throw on tables outside the store. So as long as it's not raining, it'll be a pretty good event in Cranberry. But those are the stores that have the most in order from most to least. So come check it out. And then the big news in the NDC world is Three Rivers Comic Con Lite this year. I made this announcement on, when was that? Tuesday night, Monday night.
And
my inbox has been on fire ever since. So it's going to be May 22nd and 23rd at the Waterfront in the parking lot. We are getting these big freaking tents. We're going to have some, we're mostly going to focus on vendors. There's going to be some local artists too, but we're not going out of our way to get bigger artists this time because we want to keep it a smaller event. It will be outside. COVID mitigation efforts are in effect, which means you still, as long as it doesn't change from now to then, you still have to wear a mask because you're going to be between less than 6 feet from people. So just remember that. You can kind of go out into the parking lot somewhere and take it off. You need a breather, but when you're in shopping, that's what you're going to have to do.
But it's great still because cons are back in town.
But hey, if that's what you got to do to go shopping some books, That's all you got to do. That's not a big, it's not hard, people.
If you want, you can dress up still.
Right? Oh yeah. Cosplayers are totally welcome. We're actually going to have a couple cosplay groups. The 501st has been confirmed. What's that?
Pittsburgh Ghostbusters.
I have not reached out to them yet. We'll see. But the my group that I'm in, the USS Solstice, which is a Star Trek tribute group, is coming as well. And then Pittsburgh or Three Rivers Cosplay, we are in talks with. No, it's this dude. Come on, live long and prosper, man.
Hold on.
There you go. Got it. You got a Vulcan in you. I mean, there you go. So just a little Vulcan in you. So, but that's pretty much the announcements. It's going to be a good time. If you are interested in getting a table, the registration opens up for people that did not we offered it to people who signed up for 2019/2021. Then it's going on to everybody else, and that'll start on Monday. So you got a few more days to get to that point. But hey, cons are back ish. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be 12 to 7 both days with a 10 to 12 early bird that you can buy. Like, so the early bird cost is $5 for those 2 extra hours each day. But the rest of the show, if you get there at noon, it's free admission. Free admission.
Nice.
Awesome. It's gonna be cool. We and a lot of the guys from the years who supported us for the years are already signed up. So it's gonna be cool. Again, we're not focusing on guests as much. We're gonna focus on vendors, but there will be some guests that do some like local creators that come in. I just don't know how big of a names we're gonna get. So please don't be disappointed, because understand we're still in a pandemic. We're lucky to get what we can get. So, all right, I'm done talking about it because I don't want to start any fights. All right.
I'm doing that next. Do they do break dancers or whatever? Are they like picking up and it slides down?
Yeah. Right.
Slides down? Yeah. Hopefully you're not just the audio version of this, because the video missed those moves.
Right. All right. So let me do the first screen share for I'll do my first comic.
Your book for the week.
My first book for the week is The Joker, number one.
I love the eye missing. I just want to say that, because that was cool that happened at the end of that Batman Joker War story.
Oh yeah.
So I thought it was cool that they carried over. So
I thought it was cool. Like, so I've been kind of out of the bat loop for a while, by choice, mostly because I was just kind of Batmaned out for a long time. But I really liked this book for the reason of, I thought it was a great James Gordon story. Like, it was mostly Gordon, during parts of it.
Finding out what he's doing next, right? This is besides obviously working for the police department as commissioner or anything, this is
like a crazy group of people offer him basically like a shit ton of money to kill the Joker, like to hunt him down and kill him. So that was kind of interesting. There's a small punchline story then in the back where it's punchline in jail and she beats the hell out of the Queen of Spades, which was kind of cool from the Royal Flush Gang, who looks way more punk rock than
Right?
And I was like, really? Come on. Like,
where's their giant floating cards at? Right?
My favorite part of this book was Punchline's kicking the shit out of her, and the other girls in the cell are like, should we do something? And one goes, I'm just a pawn. I don't even fit into this analogy. And I just was like, that's great. And then there was a little bit of a Bluebird story too, that was in there. And I really thought it was good. The art was solid. The writing was great. You know, I as someone who is not in the super big Batman mythos right now, like I haven't read any Joker War. I haven't read pretty much anything since like Tomasi. Yeah, well, I guess I haven't read, I read Batman Catwoman, and that was pretty much it. And the beginning of Detective, that was it.
So that Batman Out is the what they kind of labeled the Tom King era.
Really?
That was like, I read up to like the right after, it was probably right before the Bane storyline started. I was like, this is going on too long. And then I stopped. And then Tinian came on, and I was like, okay, I'm going to check out a new writer, plus Jorge Jimenez is doing the art. And I was like, whoa, freaking amazing. Like, I'm going to read a Batman book again. I was excited. And Tinian did Joker, so it's just continuing his awesome writing.
Right. All right, which book do you want to do first so I can...
Let's do the worst of them, and let's do God of War.
Okay. So this is just two panels. Okay, cool. All right. There you go.
Such a cool cover, too.
It is. It is a really cool cover. The art didn't look bad either.
Yeah, the art wasn't bad. It was, the story was like, this is Kratos. This is the God of War. And I'm walking. It was like watching The Walking Dead, where, or not even The Walking Dead. It was like watching... the Hobbit movie, the first one, where they're just walking and they're just walking, because that's all he does. None of this, he doesn't want his chaos blades anymore. So this takes place before the new game.
Uh-huh.
This is still under the Greek mythology. So he doesn't want his chaos blades anymore, and he throws them, and then he turns around and they're there. You know, it's kind of like when the movie they throw like the boomerang out the window and then it comes back and hits him or whatever. Yeah. That's what's happening. And it's just him walking. And I'm like, this is God of War. This should be like, it should open with like guts being spilled or something. Not Kratos with a hoodie on walking depressed in the desert because he has these awesome murder blades attached to his hand.
So what's going on here? Is this...
This is how it opens up. This is him. He's like, I'm cursed. And he's trying to, he has the chaos blades charged up, and then he's trying to throw them and get rid of them.
Oh.
And that was the reason I only sent you this screenshot, because this was the best screenshot of the book. Something was happening in it. It was like the tone that's set up in the first panel is the same thing throughout the whole book. It doesn't ever even like advance at all. There's a creepy like monk dude who comes to him in the form of like an ape and a seagull, and they're trying to tell him stuff about his destiny, and he's not listening because it's mostly him just being like super emo about right. what he has. So hopefully the second one gets better, because I love God of War, so I was excited to have, because there was just one miniseries like a year or two ago, so I was excited to have another one back, but this one doesn't start great.
Okay. I mean, I haven't even played the games, so to me it's a little meh, but all right. My next book is Electric Black Presents number 3. From my boy Joe Schmalke. This is on Black Caravan, which is a Scout comic imprint. So if you didn't know that, you learned something new today. So it, each one of these books is kind of cool. It's like two stories. They're horror vibed. They've been awesome. The first one is these two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister, and they kind of get like, I don't want to say like kidnapped, but they definitely are kept by some kind of gang. And then you find out that the older sister is a werewolf and kills everybody. And then they end up at the Electric Black, and the sister, the younger sister, who is also kind of, she's kind of beat up throughout the whole thing. They transfer her essence into a stuffed bear, like the her stuffed bear, which was cool. And then the second issue, second part of the issue is a story about what did they call it? It is it's actually the Hellfire, the actual Hellfire Club that met in Ireland, and you see this dude be kind of crazy, kill a lady, become like, can then shapeshift because of the certain night that they're killing people with a certain knife. Then they use the knife as kind of a spin the bottle, but it's whoever, because everybody wants this power, the guys who want the power have to basically pay with their lives. So the way they pay for it is they all sit in a circle around a table and they spin the knife, and whoever's on the hilt end has to kill the point end. Right?
Because you don't want to kill with the hilt end.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a little rough. So it gets down to the last two guys, and they spit it, and someone else grabs the knife because it went to him, and it's Herman Mudgett. And if you know the name Herman Mudgett, he's the guy who built the
monster.
He's the guy who built the murder hotel in Chicago.
Oh, I was thinking Herman Munster.
No. Mudgett, not Munster. However, now that you said that, I'm wondering if that's how they got his name. like for Herman Munster. That'd be really funny. But the knife looks like that. And he goes, I'll be heading back to the States after a short stop in London. Keep your eyes on the papers, Carol. I'll send you a love letter from hell. So the mythos of the thing that everybody thought Herman Mudgett was everyone thought he was Jack the Ripper.
Oh,
so it's a Jack the Ripper tie-in too. So, okay. But if you like horror anthologies, think like Tales from the Crypt with like a little more Black Mirror-ish vibe to it. Okay. Like that's what you get when you read Electric Black. It is very, very cool. It is my number one recommendation for people who say they like horror stuff, because it is that good. So
I was gonna, when you were trying to get it together, like, oh, which part? I was gonna sing a song that Scar sings in The Lion King. Be prepared. I was gonna sing that, but then I didn't.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to be prepared, guys.
I was just joking.
It's all good. I'm just trying to read the comments while I'm up here, but we'll talk about that in a little bit, Todd. It'll be all right. All right. So do you want to go to your second worst book now?
Yes. Let's go to
The Nonstop Spider-Man.
Is that the one? No, I have some good things to say about Nonstop Spider-Man, even though it was still lower on my list. Let's go to Daredevil next.
Okay.
Daredevil 28. I was so excited because the King in Black stuff was kind of boring, and this book was really like hitting a high note right before that event started, which is one of the reasons that I hate events that just have to encompass everything, even though the King in Black has mostly been amazing. Sometimes it just messes up a writer's flow as far as what they're doing for a story. So I was excited that this was back, and this was the first issue back after the King in Black. What was weird for me was King in Black left it where there was still things going on, but because this book comes out and King in Black is over in this time, but King in Black 5 has not come out, they don't talk about how that stuff resolved. So it feels kind of weird. Like, hey, did I miss an issue? Is there like a 27.5 that's supposed to go in between this? But it starts off Daredevil's back in prison. And he's basically confronted while eating by this like kind of squirrely guy who just seems like he wants a friend. And then he gets confronted in the shower by the people that were protecting him from money. Wink.
Is that what we're seeing here?
Yep. This is a great Chip Zdarsky nudity scene. He's so good at writing stuff like that. But yeah, this is the guy in the middle that was talking. That was the guy that had met up with Daredevil and wanted to just kind of be friends. These guys took it as he was looking for free protection, started beating him up. Daredevil beats their asses, and then he kneels down on the floor and's like, okay, because he's there, you know, because he thinks that he needs to be there. He wasn't arrested and put in jail. Like, he could have got away. So he's complying with that because he knows he beat those dudes up, but he's not trying to get further problem. He's just trying to save that dude's life.
Okay.
That guy, Daredevil's having a hard time sleeping because he can hear everybody's thoughts and motions, you know, typical Daredevil stuff. And they switch over to an Elektra story where this young girl in the middle panel, her mother was killed in issue 27 by Typhoid Mary, who was infected with the symbiote, which was pretty cool.
I say that had to be like the coolest thing. I can only imagine when she's like even more psychotic.
Yeah. Typhoid Mary, but with like black sword hands to stab people with.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So this girl was orphaned, and Elektra, who's trying to be more like Daredevil because she needs him help, his help with something involving the hand, is trying to take this girl in and be kind of a mother to her, because she feels guilty. She was fighting Typhoid Mary when her mother got stabbed. So kicks over to Typhoid Mary. She's in the hospital. She was working for Wilson Fisk. For some reason, he seems very caring about Typhoid Mary. She's kind of his protection in this storyline. Wow. So she's kind of normal right now. She's kind of like bearing her soul to him about how it felt to have a third mind. You know, she's already insane with her two personalities, and she had a third one. So she's explaining that to him. I love the way, this is Mark Cicchetto, I think is how you say it. I love the way he draws hair.
I do too.
With that. So this was an okay book, but I think it was struggling because the event wasn't over. So that felt a little awkward. And it was trying to gear back up into where it was at before the King in Black started. So I have confidence that the next issue will be much better, but this one was kind of so-so for me. So.
Okay. I get that. So, all right. My next book is ENIAC 1.
Oh, that's the sound of the cables in his mouth. Sorry.
Oh, dude, I know. This cover art is sick as hell.
All of it was.
This book was so good. Oh my God, was it good? First off, this is a Bad Idea book. It's from Matt Kent and Doug Braithwaite and Diego Rodriguez. And all these guys used to work at Valiant together. And I can't tell you how much I love this book. It's got everything from spies to crazy supercomputers, to like history. One
probably in there, right?
What's that?
Wonder Man's probably in there, right?
Probably. To like a G.I. Joe style team that totally gets themselves killed on a ship. This book was super good. So, like, I don't even know where to start on how awesome it is. So basically, the idea is ENIAC was a supercomputer built during World War II to help the Allies figure out where the Nazis were going to bomb, or the Axis powers were going to bomb. And then the government was like, no, you need to feed it more information so that it actually does more things and we can be ahead of the game. The guy who created it is like, I don't know if you want to do that. It's going to be, it's going to learn. It's going to not be good. We don't know how this is going to deal. So he then goes and the government forces him to learn, forces the computer to do it. So there's tons of people just punching in data for months, 24/7. Eventually, the computer gets so intelligent that it says, all right, you need to drop the bomb on Nagasaki. Hiroshima. Or Hiroshima was first, right? Yeah.
I was going to say me.
Oh, drop the bomb. Drop the bomb. I'll drop a bomb on you. Sorry, went into a Robert Palmer. But anyway, so eventually they try to shut off the computer, and the computer keeps it, the program keeps popping up, and it almost becomes like a brother eye, which I really dug because it was more in this world. And you find out that it's the one who sent the second bomb notice to have the bomb dropped, and because it was a notice that cannot be redacted, they just dropped the bomb. That's why they like you see them try to stop, like the higher up guys try to tell them to stop doing it and don't drop it, but they drop it anyway. So that was kind of neat. And then it basically wanted to stop the Cold War before the Cold War even happened, but they did stop it before that happened. So it was real crazy. This book is really, really good. Unfortunately, we are all 100% sold out of first prints of this book.
They're still, I don't even have it ordered yet, right?
The not first prints are coming. They should be, I believe I got an email today that said they should be not this coming week, but the one after that. So they should be here. They're definitely going to be here by the end of March. Tankers number one is the next book. It's coming out soon. Then there's Walesville. Walesville's also by Matt Kent. It's a one shot. I think it's like $8, but it is glorious looking. It reminds me a lot of Bone.
On that one.
Oh yeah, yeah. But this has been really great. And with Bad Idea, like, we're not allowed to sell more than one to a person. So if you got a first print, you cannot get a not first print of the same book.
Don't even try it.
Yes. Don't try it. They've already cut off stores for doing stuff like that. I've gotten emails about it. So please, for the love of God, don't screw it up for us and then have all of our orders canceled so that we would then not be able to fulfill for everyone.
I know. I'll get it from our store.
I'm the one who's going to get that phone call or email, and it's not going to be pretty. I'll tell you that. So, all right.
No phone call.
Right. All right. So you're on your next book.
Spider-Man.
And go.
Nonstop Spider-Man is basically, and there's actually a letter in the back before the mini story at the end that tells you what the whole thought process behind this is. It's literally supposed to be Speed the movie as a comic book. It's just action. It's straight to it. It's nonstop. There's no like, hey, well, we're just talking in a coffee shop kind of stuff. It's just action the whole time. There is a conversation in a funeral, but it's not a coffee shop, so I'm not a complete liar.
That's fair.
It's pretty good. I think it threw me off just jumping right into the action and then it not stopping. But I thought this first panel was a little weird because this is Chris D'Acciaio, I think it's how you say his name. And this is his art, and it usually looks great, but I thought that Peter's face looked a little weird in this shot, especially for the first page of a new series.
His nose looks extremely long.
Yeah, it does.
It's weird.
but the artwork is fantastic in the book. The story does give you a lot of action, so that's fun. I thought it was better than the current Amazing Spider-Man series. I love this stuff in the artwork where Look Out Below is his Spidey sense, and so it's a neat take on Spidey sense. Instead of just lightning bolts, it's literally the word, like, kind of warning him what to do, because then below him, they're shooting him with a gun.
Oh, so that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Cool take on something that I've never seen anybody do on Spider-Man before, but the artwork's always great because it's Chris Pachalo. The story was basically somebody that he's in school with ends up dead. And they're like, oh, it was alcohol poisoning. And his other friend ends up with taking these pills. And it's crazy. You don't even get any of that from these pictures, because this is all the action parts. And he's trying to save her because she took the same stuff that killed the other guy. So he's rushing to stop these bad guys while also getting to her so he can help her. And that's basically what's happening in this story. His friend is dying. And then there's a such good artwork. I love this stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy good.
And the thing that was cool about this was it was a little different for him, is it's not all dark. It's not all black. Usually, like, you read his stuff, he uses a lot of blacks. More like along this line.
Yeah.
This book was a lot more brighter for him, so I thought that was kind of cool about it. And then there's a sub story at the end that kind of tells you who is going to be the whole villain in this, and it's this new Hydra, and they're having a board meeting, and they're like, we don't wear green jackets with yellow suspenders anymore, we're business tycoons. And this guy walks in, he's like, well, that's stupid. And it's Baron Zemo, and he's like, cut off one head, you know, two more grow. So he cuts this guy's head off. And then kills everybody else because he tells him that Hydra stands for not tolerating the weak. So it was like Hydra coming back into the fold again.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm worried that since it's a Spider-Man book, if this ties in any way to Nick Spencer's Amazing Spider-Man, that we're going to get that Hydra Cap, who's still alive, and that bummed me out so bad. So, but this was a fun book. I would say definitely try. If you like the Amazing Spider-Man book, then you'll like this one for sure. If you don't like the Amazing Spider-Man book, then you should like this one for sure, because it seems very different from that. So
cool. All right, so this is a bonus book because we both read it. Children of the Atom number one. I don't really know if I like this book or hate this book. I can't decide. The concept was kind of cool. Like, basically it's a tribute group of humans trying to be the X-Men.
Yeah.
And they're all high school kids. So it's kind of like kicking it back, so it's almost like a tribute band, you know.
Yeah.
Which is the only thing that I was kind of like, I don't know, because it's I
felt the same way, but by the end of it I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, at first I'm just like, I don't know, this is a little weird, kind of, you know, misleading a little bit, but then by the end I was like, this is that different that I kind of liked it.
Right, but I'm just kind of like, okay, so if all this stuff is spoilers, all this shit is tech. So if all this shit is tech, how the hell are they doing that in high school? Like, none of them are Riri. Like, yeah. You know, but I did like their code names. I thought they were pretty good. And I thought that overall, I thought it was a fun book. I wasn't super excited about it. I wasn't, I didn't completely hate it. I thought the art was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's just the storyline was weird, and it happened after M Day. So, like, Like it's in the current continuity. So you have like this, like a female Pyro, you have like a Juggernaut, like almost like a female Brotherhood of Evil Mutants that show up at first, and that's who they fight. And the female Pyro is my favorite part. Like she was just hilarious because she's even like what, British, Scottish, whatever he actually is supposed to be, yeah. Irish, one of the whatever he is. And they're called the Hell's Bells, which is really, I thought, funny. And it's so it's Briquette, who's superhuman, with molten superhuman strength, molten hot skin, invulnerable and has claws. Tremlo, who can do energy blasts, vibration waves. Flambe, who manipulates fire like Pyro. And Vague, who has flight and invisibility. I just thought that was the best. Those are the best names for them. I thought that was really good. But it, there's like, it's like Cyclops Lass was a little like sad to me. Yeah. Daycrawler was a little sad to me. Cherub was kind of neat, as instead of Angel, you have Cherub.
Yeah.
But it was just like weird. Like I was just like, I don't know what to think of this book. Do I like it? Do I not like it? I think I'm going to give it another issue though, because
yeah,
you know, it's they, you can tell they want to be mutants, but they're not mutants.
Yeah.
So, and then all the mutants are like, well, why aren't they coming to Krakoa? So it's just weird. It like,
yeah, I feel like if I give it two or three issues, then I'll really be able to tell if I'm going to like it or not. Cause this is in the Hickman X-Men universe. So it wouldn't surprise me if it started off slow. Cause it's such a long build on all his stuff. Yeah. Right.
Now. Well, I don't even think it's that slow. It's just weird. So, yeah. But anyway, all right. So let's devote some time to our awkwardly fun topic tonight, which is costume changes for characters, things we liked, things we hated, and we very much so defined it to the character had to keep the same name. Like, yeah. Like for instance, we're going to talk about Spider-Man, and I have a couple Spider-Man like options here, some cool stuff, but when he became Ricochet, that we can't count that outfit because he's not Spider-Man, he was Ricochet. Yeah. Does that make sense to everybody? Cool. Todd actually put a great one in there that I did not get pictures for, but his was Aquaman. A lot of people hated it when they took off his shirt, cut off his arm, gave him the hook, and then eventually gave him the hand, the water hand, and then went back to the classic style. I'm a little bit 50-50 on that because I really liked Peter David's writing during the shirtless hook hand Aquaman run. But I really didn't care for the art. I like the art a lot because I like Marty's art. I just don't know if I necessarily liked that look for Aquaman. But it was. I thought it fit for the writing. Is my thing.
It's the only version of Aquaman that I like.
Okay.
Is the Peter David hook hand,
right?
Because he's not orange t-shirt talking to a dolphin, like super lame.
Yeah.
And not like what we have now, like the
Jason orange armor.
Yeah.
Talking to dolphins, being super lame.
And just being super lame. I have a scar on my eyebrow. Whatever, Jason. Just fill it in with some makeup. So that's my favorite version, is the Peter David version.
Yeah.
I
loved the writing in there, and I thought if it would have been, if they would have kept the classic outfit, it would not have been as good to me. So that is why it's my favorite version of him, but it's my favorite version of him because the writing fit the art at the same time. And the other way would be if it would have been somebody else writing Hook Hand Aquaman looking like that. I don't know if anyone else could have done it that wasn't Peter David. Carl said Angel Archangel. That's kind of a weird one too, because technically he goes back to being Angel in the same, like in the same blue with the armored wings. So Yeah, but honestly, I really liked Archangel or Angel at the end when right before, like when when they were doing the mutant Genesis stuff and he was on the X-Force and they showed him not an X-Force outfit, but a regular outfit where it was like very robey looking. Yeah. It had like the loincloth front. I thought that was cool. So, all right. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I like his version in the Uncanny X-Force, the Rick Remender story. It was like the dark gray kind of X-Forces, but yeah.
All right. So here are two awesome Spider-Man suits that I thought were awesome.
Yep.
You know, the Scarlet Spider, which is one of my all-time favorite ones.
And blew away at the time because it was like, you know, it was that and then Spider-Man, you know, hey, I'm Peter Parker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have feelings for it both ways. I love
and
it.
Then the Future Foundation Spider-Man, which I also really, really, really enjoyed.
Best costumes ever, I think. It's so awesome.
It was so sleek. It, you know, it looked... at the time it looked very futuristic because it was still, that was like what mid-2000s at that point. And we haven't had the movie stuff and it wasn't the same old, it wasn't your same old, just regular, red and blue spandex. And it wasn't boring, I guess.
It was a cool story.
Yeah.
Which was all men, I think, right?
That was during the Hickman FF run, yeah. That was after Johnny Storm died, and he took Johnny's place because Johnny willed him his space in the team.
Yeah.
So, this is a personal favorite of mine, the Nightwing Evolution.
Ooh, that far left.
Ooh, Disco Nightwing. Yeah. Disco. And then you kind of have, like, the I Want to Be Daredevil Nightwing. Which, like, that big gold block across was, like, real just – it was awkward. You could tell they were getting somewhere, but it was still just not quite where it needed to be. Though I do love George Perez.
It's definitely better than the Disco one, for sure.
Yes. then there's my favorite one, which is the Scott McDaniel one. Yep. Then that's it
– the one I like that I've always liked, so.
Yeah. Then they upgraded it. And that's like the Jamal Engel style one. And then they did the one from the New 52. This just happens to be from there. He then went back to like basically the New 52, but blue instead of red after that, which it's is what he still has now.
Scott McDaniel one, I feel like.
Now. Yeah, Scott's is my favorite.
Yeah.
Now, again, this would be a thing where we can't use Robin and Nightwing because that is a character changing name.
Yep.
Right. Okay. I have four more examples of cool stuff. So this Cyclops
there.
What's that?
Cyclops there.
I do for you. I do. So my next one though, I'm going to do this one first is Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
So this is your semi-classic Spider-Woman, right? And it had, like, except the very classic Spider-Woman had the helmet, like, it pull up, and you didn't see the hair, so it was very awkward because she looked kind of like a mannequin. And then they went to this outfit for a while, which I actually really liked this outfit.
I just didn't. Glasses. I liked everything else but the glasses. It was weird.
Agreed. I really liked the idea that it was a jacket.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool. Like, I was like, oh, that makes way more sense. I really like this look for this character.
What it reminds me of?
What?
The unused Jim Lee Wonder Woman design.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're going to get to that. You're right. I think that's why I liked it, because it reminded me of that too. And then the current one, which is kind of a mix.
Miles meets Jessica Drew kind of thing.
Well, I think this one has like the mix of the two older outfits together, because it has the black bottom for the most part. And then they just updated the top to be less red. Pretty much like from the chest up, it's pretty much the, or I guess like the just under the neck up, like the collarbone up is pretty much the classic suit. And then from there down is kind of like just a slightly modified onesie version of the bikerish looking.
That one image is hard to tell too, because it's more black on the interiors.
Yeah.
This is that Korean artist, his name's like Yoon or something like that.
Yeah.
It looks more gray on like on his picture, but it's more just solid black on the interior. So it looks better, I think, on the interior ones.
All right. And then since you brought it up, we will do Wonder Woman next.
Wonder Woman.
All right, hold on. I have it as
potato.
Almost like a, not a potato, like a, no, it's kind of like a
bank deposit slip.
No,
I'm just gonna keep words taking.
It's like a chronological order is what I was looking for.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got to get my computer to actually work with me a little bit here, and I have one more to go. And all right, so let me go back up here. All right. So here we have your pretty much your golden age Wonder Woman, right? You know, skirt slash bikini thing going on.
Can't see the belly button. Like that was the thing then. Like when they had trunks, like you couldn't have like your belly button exposed, or you were like a hoe.
Well, I mean, technically you're supposed to wear your pants around your waist, and your waist is actually around your belly button. So most of us are just, you know, low riding our pants, so
we're all hoes for sure.
So then you get the George Perez, which was an upgrade to having way cooler boots and that gorgeous mane. The gauntlets actually got definition with like the grooves in them. I thought this was my favorite like golden age to modern age. This is my favorite hop for most.
Fun fact about this one, everybody thinks there's only 37 stars on her underpants, but there's actually 38. This one's in the crack.
Oh.
50, so I don't know who she's representing.
And then there's the one you talked about, which...
She's like, you're an idiot.
So... I can hear in the background. So this is the next in the evolution, which is the next jump that, and this is the one everybody hated. I personally thought this was awesome.
Freaking awesome.
It was. It was like way more practical. I was like, oh, cool. So she's tired of being cold. All right.
And more badass too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she just needs an invisible motorcycle instead of an invisible jet for this. And she'd be awesome.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody was so in an uproar about it, but it only went maybe 12 issues with this. It's one or two story arcs, and that was it. And then they booted into the new 52, which you then got. Oh, you can't see it. It's really small. That's really bad. That was the Cliff Chang one. And then the Cliff Chang went to the David Finch.
Yeah.
Jim
Lee also.
And Jim Lee, yeah. Well, it's the Finch Lee hybrid is kind of the deal. Which I liked it. I thought the skirt looked cool, being more of like multi loincloth style. I thought it gave her more of like a warrior look, which was cool. And really this is what turned into
a movie.
Yeah. But still love this one. Still love it. Don't know why people hated on it. Still loved it. All right.
Which one would you be more embarrassed to be like, oh, damn, I got beat up trying to rob a bank by Wonder Woman. And it was like, okay, then you show the biker one. And they're like, whoa, she looks like she's super freaking tough. Or then you show the one that's in a bathing suit with knee-high boots on. Which right. one would, like, I would want to get beat up by the one in a leather jacket because at least she looks cool.
Right? Right? That's what I'm saying. All right, so now I have some uber fun Superman ones.
Oh, God.
So we'll talk about how much we love and hate some of these. Oh, so the first one is the Golden Age, right? So I mean, you really can't go wrong with, well, you know, the classic look. It defined it for almost, you know, 50 years.
Yep.
So that was awesome.
The American way.
Right. So here's some awesome fun versions of it. So we get like the new 52 Action Comics Young Superman t-shirt and jeans with the short cape, which come on,
Raspberry of the day.
Yep. Like, I like Grant Morrison's writing, but I thought this was I did not like the concept look of this. I thought it was really kind of dumb.
He has patches on his knees. It was so dumb.
Well, it's all,
like this Shazam 2-foot cape hanging off the back, like he's a 3-foot. They grab like a napkin off the table,
right?
And then got jeans with holes. Like, you know what? If you wear jeans with holes in them, that's fine. But when you're going out to like save someone's life and be a superhero, no one wants to be like, oh man, I want to be like Superman because he has shitty jeans,
right? I mean, I can dress like this literally every day of the week and no one's going to think I'm Superman.
Muscles.
Yeah. I mean, but when I do put on that shirt with the little cape, the muscles come out. I'm just saying. Okay. Like the beard goes away. I can take my glasses off. So,
hey, I've got one ab. Ooh.
Right. And then, you know, sometimes when I get real angry, I turn into this. Now, listen.
I know.
So Ron Frenz did the art on this, and I love Ron. And I actually thought that this run was kind of a cool concept, but I just thought personally that the concept ran too long. I didn't think it looked bad because they were both the red and the blue, but it just took way too long to stop doing that look. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah. It's awful. Like Ron, he's cool, but I was like, this is just terrible.
Well, I don't think he actually was like, you know what, I'm going to create the powers of this Superman. I think he was just,
They had blue. It was like if 3D glasses really wanted to piss me off for some reason. The old 3D glasses, not the new ones that are like,
right,
not fun. They're just all black. Right.
And then I got this Superman, which is the Jim Lee New 52 Superman that had the high collar, and they took away the trunks, and everybody was pissed because they took away the trunks. I'm like, does it really matter? Like,
you know, you could keep the trunks gone if you wanted. I didn't like the collar.
They all had that collar, though. Every single person, like Green Lantern, Flash, everybody, they all had that collar. Batman had that collar.
I don't know why it didn't look right on Superman. Even like if you look like on his arms, like his sleeves go all the way up to like his hand on the front. Like,
yeah, and then they do like a
point.
Yeah, point. And Supergirls do the same too.
Yeah.
So, actually everybody did that.
I was okay with that. I just don't like the, like, what is holding the cape on? He just tucked it into his collarbone? I know he's Superman, but that's gotta hurt.
Well, I think it's part of the suit. I think it's just sewn in down there.
I mean, we can only hope.
Right. Well, I mean, at least he has a cape on, like, black suit Superman.
Yes. It's so bad.
I mean, why do you need the cut all the way out the shoulder like that? Like,
yeah, kids in high school that play baseball and they cut the sleeves all the way up to like the neckline and you're like, yeah. Oh, look, it's a douchebag.
Yeah, he's just like, it's like, I need my neckline to be wide enough to fit my whole torso through.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if that was just the look, because that was what, late 90s, early 2000s?
Maybe he was working out with Hans and Franz and he got pumped up.
He's trying to sweat it out. but the only redeeming factor of this look is the fact that at the time he normally had a mullet. Yeah. which I thought was actually kind of fun.
I liked it.
I mean, I liked it. It wasn't my favorite, but I definitely liked it. All right.
Yeah.
I got one.
The mullet. The mullet was.
Yeah.
If anybody the mullet looked good, I think it's fair that it's Superman.
All right. You ready for this next one?
Yeah.
Thor. So we got classic Thor, which is, wave my hammer and hit the rock people.
Yeah.
Then you get my second, probably my favorite non-classic Thor looking guy is Armor Thor from Walt Simonson, because that was awesome sauce.
Yeah.
It was like, I also at that time thought, why did you draw him like this? Because you're going to have to draw him like that every time.
Except for part about it.
What?
There's only one part that I hate.
The giant knee pads?
Knee pads.
Yeah.
It's like, whose knee pads are those? Andre the Giant's?
Right.
Why are they that big? The rest of it's badass, and then you're like, is this a purse? Does he keep snacks down there for when he's traveling? I don't understand it.
One's for Mjolnir, one's for the helmet.
Oh, like, there you go.
Yeah, because that helmet is huge. He also had a sweet beard at this time. Yep. I really liked that specific outfit. My least favorite Thor outfit ever is that one. just look at this. Look at that. Like, Hela looks awesome. She went from green to red. What is this? Look.
I'm telling you, it's from a movie. It's called I'll Make Your Butt Thor, and that's the costume. Like,
where are the chains that Mjolnir's connected to going, and how does he not, like, is he now, like, limited? Can he not take Mjolnir wherever he wants to go? Like, and then this was also in the era of, like, the weird helmet that, like, went around the head, down the face, and up the cheek, but the hair was exposed.
I'm looking at you, Havoc. I'm looking at you, Cyclops.
Oh yeah, that's coming. That's coming.
It doesn't make, like, I don't get it.
Okay, so I got two more. And then we'll just discuss whoever. So this one is Magneto.
Yeah.
So I actually really thought Magneto is consistently pretty solid when it comes to to outfits. I never thought he actually had a very bad outfit. The worst one is probably I think that's John Byrne.
The middle?
No, the one on the left where he has the M.
Yeah.
Like that's probably my least favorite of them.
It was always weird. It was the trial of Magneto when that came out.
Yeah.
Right. And so I always looked at it as like almost like some kind of like prisoner outfit. And when I look at it that way, it doesn't bother me. But when I know that just as a regular bad guy, he's walking around with a giant M on his.
Right.
Works for Superman. He's not pulling it off over there.
So. the crazier thing is they took it and they went from the classic look, which is the middle one. Which is the updated version of the classic look, I guess. And they went to that. And then they went back to the classic look, just updated it a little more and made him a little more muscular. I really enjoy the white suit.
It's so cool.
My favorite is actually the next iteration of that one, which I didn't get, where he has like the black down the, like he, it's a little more defined of black down the sides, and he doesn't have like the metal collar thing going on anymore.
They also did a green one at the beginning of the House of X.
Oh, was, yeah.
A white one, but it was all green. So I thought it was cool. I love the white one the best. That's one of my favorites.
So here is the last one that I have. This is the last one I have pictures of, and we can talk about a couple more after this, but yeah, that is your boy Cyclops.
Yep.
And that's
the single one that I hate.
Yeah. I all right, I will tell you, I hate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those. And they don't even put in the one from, like, we don't even get the one from Age of Apocalypse, which is the awesomest and worst one ever, with like the mullet and like the like
the bald side of the head kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't like 1, 2, 2.5.
Okay. Which ones are your least favorites?
So on the bottom left, the second one in, that was from like the late 99, like 2000 run. That was just, it was like some of the worst X-Men stuff.
Yep.
Probably around the same time that the movie came out.
Right.
And then two over from that, which is like the ultimate X-Men dominatrix, mm-hmm. kind of like it's, I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate a short haircut is what I hate. and then the half one is the one with the red. That's two over from that. I like the costume. I don't like the X on his face. And there's two versions. There's that one. And then there's one where even his, I think, whole mouth is covered up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like, how are you seeing out of there? only see the parts that the X go through. Like, I don't get it. So,
right. I'm with you on your first two 100%. I also hate the animated show one on the bottom left.
Yeah, it's not a strong one. That's for sure.
I hated the one on the bottom right all the way over, like the almost like the kid one where he gets reabsorbed it's young Cyclops one. And then the second one from the right on top, because it was like the it's the evolution between the X Factor and the Jim Lee. And yeah. It just didn't quite hit right for me. I was like, this just seems like you're really like putting an even bigger target on yourself than you were when it was a white X. Yeah. Right. So my favorite one is probably either the Jim Lee, which is the top right, or the X Factor, the blue and white X, the third one from the right on the top. Those have always been my two favorite Cyclops looks. I think the Jim Lee one mostly because of the cartoon show, because that's the one they used as the basis for that, and that just always stuck with me as like what I always thought Cyclops should look like. So that's kind of my thing.
My favorite is the one to the left of the red and black one. That's the one from the Joss Whedon run. Boo, Joss Whedon. Boo.
Wait, which one was it?
The one to the left of the red one.
Oh, the Astonishing X-Men one.
Astonishing.
Yeah. Yeah, they adapted that into the main story arcs, though, like around the time of like Matt Fraction doing X-Men.
That one was designed by John Cassidy, who did the art on that run. And that was like, to me, one of the bolder changes, I feel like. I like the subtle like yellow piping that goes like down the side, if we're going to get technical with fashion terms. and I like the whole... like cap that goes over with the silver goggles instead of the gold ones.
I like that too. Yeah. Oh, this is hilarious, by the way. Ron and Carl are basically arguing over whether or not Cyclops sucks. Cyclops
definitely sucks if you look at like, media, like the movies and the cartoons. But if you know Cyclops in the comic books, he didn't start sucking until probably like the Grant Morrison run when he made him like cheating on Jean and stuff.
I'm probably 50-50 on that. Like, I never was a big fan of Cyclops. I thought he was an okay leader, but he was also kind of, I felt he was too much of a yes man and didn't take as many risks as he should.
You would like current Cyclops.
Oh, I loved him when it was like after he killed Professor X and they kind of did their own thing for a while. Yeah. And then it kind of, then they were like at the old Alkaline Lake thing when he was wearing the black one with the X over the eyes. Like, while I hated that outfit, I liked that attitude of Cyclops, but it was a little too late. Like, he was always the Boy Scout to me. I remember having a conversation at C3, my like, I don't know, second month working for NDC. We're upstairs, me and Chris Lemke, we're talking about how much we hate Cyclops and how much we love Emma Frost. And, what the hell's his name? Nick,
Nolte.
No, he always wears a fedora. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, he was like in high school at the time.
Is it Miller?
No, shit, I'm gonna remember. But anyway, this dude named Nick was a young kid at the time. He came in and he overheard this and he just goes, Emma Frost is a whore. And we were like, well, who do you like? And he's like, I like Cyclops because he's a great leader and stuff. So before, this was like the first time we had ever met him, and he kind of like left pretty much immediately after these comments, so like we couldn't really get to know him. And we were like, so how about Cyclops Kid coming in today? That was pretty interesting. So forever we called him Cyclops Kid. But because we didn't know his name until we knew him, and then he became Nick. It was very similar to Marissa out at the Mills. She would always come in and buy Hawkeye books and always would pay with cash, and we'd be like trying to get to know her, like, hey, like, what else can we get for you, whatever. And we could never, like, if she would pay with a credit card, we'd be like, oh, her name's Marissa, cool. So we just called her Hawkeye Girl forever. And eventually she became friends with us, and it was cool. But all these people are great people. So that's pretty much, like, the ones I could think of that were very, very, they had great, really greats and really terribles without having a shit ton of variations like Iron Man. Like, if we were to do Iron Man, it'd be like, all right, so we have to go through like every single freaking piece of armor, because like you can go from
one a week.
Yeah. One a week for like 4 years. Like, it's crazy. Like, I'm a big Silver Centurion fan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite armors.
And the blue one, I always like the blue one.
The stealth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. And then there's people that just have always had really terrible outfits, like Gambit. Gambit has never had a cool outfit to me. I'm like, you're literally wearing a trench coat.
One time, and it's going on now, when they go to Otherworld, their costumes change to fit that time.
Oh, okay.
And his looks way cooler when they're in Otherworld. Because it's like a long coat, but there's these cool straps that come off on them. I don't know how to, it's almost more like a robe the way they do it, like a wizard's robe or something, but made to look like a brown trench coat.
Right.
So, yeah.
Ron said, what about the Nightwing with the Deathstroke mask? I don't know if he's technically still Nightwing at that point. Is it? I thought he goes under a different persona when he wears that.
I don't know. That's a good point.
I thought he was like X or something. Or was that a different persona even more? Because that's the one that you're going to see in Teen Titans.
Oh, you're talking Red X?
Red X. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that basically Nightwing with the Deathstroke mask?
It is Tim Drake in the Teen Titans cartoon.
So, yeah, but it's not, I don't think it is in Titans though, is it? Like in the new future state book or
no, I'm not sure.
Okay. Cause I know it's like Titans Academy and he's a teacher there as Red X. So, but, Carl, you're wrong. Gambit is awful. I'm just telling you.
I mean, if you can charge cards up and blow stuff up with them.
I mean, that is pretty cool.
That's an actual mutant power in its own. Because if you ever don't ever tell me you never like picked up a card and you're like, hey, what's going on, Gambit? And then you threw one and it was like, and it fluttered to the ground, like the lamest thing you ever done. So for him to be able to get that card, like get some velocity on it, and then
it is blows. Pretty weak sauce. You're right. I'm sorry.
So I think Carl might be right.
Maybe we'll see, but yeah, there's some cool other costumes out there, but no one like I was like trying to think of like some Fantastic Four ones, and the only one I can think of is Sue's is really the only one that changed a lot because it went from like a skirt with pants to just a jumpsuit to midriff to dominatrix to midriff to midriff with boob window.
One was like if somebody was like doing that folding thing where you cut a pattern out and you make a snowflake, that was like, and then you painted it blue and she put it on. That was her.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was pretty crazy. But I'm just trying to think.
They actually, you know what? Did I send you the picture of the Fantastic Four? Let me see if I can send you this real quick. You might be able to get it on. It was a different kind of costume for them. I'll send it over now. It was from that animated cartoon, not the original.
Oh, anime. Yeah. This actually was a really good costume.
Yeah, and I love those. I love the orange and stuff. Thing having it painted on his chest was, you know, stupid. But
I actually think that it's funny, though. I think it's really funny.
It's funny, but it was stupid because I like the thing, and then it makes him look kind of like a big lug and a joke. Yeah, I mean, it has like anime vibes to it, and I like the colors a lot because that was, I mean, besides Future Foundation, it's always pretty much been the same for them.
Right, right. Well, I mean, well, they've done the red. They did the red suits for a while during the Matt Fraction run.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was the Matt Fraction and then the Matt or the Robinson run.
Yeah.
Like they had the red suits, like those were kind of cool. Yeah. So, but like the Sue with like the four boob window where the window was the four. I was like, what?
Why?
Right. Like who thought this was a good idea? Right. Yeah. Oh shit. We didn't talk about the WandaVision finale. Shit.
Oh, wow.
All right. We're going to do this in 5 minutes because we're going long. I thought it was amazing. I thought that the fight between Visions was the fight it's the fight I wanted, but I did want more. Like I wanted more physical fight, but then when it came down to like the ship talk, the talk about the boat, like I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. This is the fight. This is it. And I thought it was great.
And that fight was when the White Vision goes to grab the stone, and then Vision's like, no way, dude, not doing that. And he phases through. And then I'm like, oh my God, why didn't he do that? Infinity War. Could have all been if he just but I thought that was cool, like he learned from it. And then when White Vision pops up out of the ground and is pulling him down, it was like almost like symbolic, like pulling him to his grave. So I enjoyed that fight a lot. I thought it was awesome.
I just thought I wanted it to be a little longer is my whole thing. I thought it was funny that basically all the red herrings were crap. They were all red herrings.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, good one, Marvel. You got us. You got us all.
You know, what was cool about it, though, was it made it fun. Like, every week we were talking about, oh, my God, it could be Reed Richards. Oh, my God, it's Mephisto. It's C'Thun. Like, if they wouldn't have done all that, we would have just been like, yeah, it was pretty good.
Right?
Wouldn't have anything.
Right? I thought the witch fight was good. The new outfit for Scarlet Witch
is awesome.
Perfection.
Yep.
It is a beautiful blend of the West Coast Avengers outfit, the modern outfit, and the movie version, like her movie look, all mixed together. And
it had, like, the red hood on it, like she had that in Children's Crusade, with like these cool, like, gem, like almost gypsy jewels stuff. So I thought that was cool that she had the hood on it. Yeah, it was all pretty awesome, that part of it. It was cool getting to finally know that the book is the Darkhold.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw what Gabriel Luna tweeted.
No.
The guy that, remember, he played Ghost Rider in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
And that whole story was about the Darkhold. He tweeted, I knew the under my bed wasn't a safe place for the Darkhold. I thought that was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. I thought it was a good throw with the two mid credit and then the after credit scene. I also thought it was cool that it was the evolution of Marvel movies too, because you know, up until the third last one, we started with the mid credit scenes, which is what they did in the first couple movies, and then now we have the mid credit and post credit like they did with this, and I thought that was epic. Wundagore Mountain, seeing Wundagore Mountain was freaking awesome for me, because I love Wundagore Mountain, because it's, you know, the place that they all live.
I liked that scene better because it had, we already know there's going to be secret invasion. Right. So like that whole thing with Monica to me was just like, I mean, like, it didn't really make me excited. Like, I was already excited for her, and I know she's going to be in Secret Invasion. I think they said she's supposed to show up in Falcon and Winter Soldier, I believe. And
Captain Marvel 2.
Marvel 2. Yeah. So I was already excited and knew about that. The Wanda one at the end, where she's awake, and then she's also in her astral form studying the Darkhold. That was cool to me, because Doctor Strange isn't even powerful enough to do that. He had to sleep and then his astral. So she's like, I'm just up doing shit. And oh, there's my ghost.
This view is so nice. I'm going to have my coffee.
Yeah. So that was awesome. That was just kind of gave me chills to see that. So,
right. I also was thinking about this. So I was talking to somebody about the whole Young Avengers setup thing. And I was going through the list of what's coming out, and I'm like, all right, so they did the setup for the kids to grow up and be the twins. Yep. We have the setup for Cassie. We have the setup for Kate. We may or may not see a setup for Patriot in Falcon Winter Soldier. There's some kind of rumor that may happen. But we don't have Hulkling, which may show up from the Captain Marvel 2 or the Secret Invasion, but I thought Secret Invasion was going to be animated.
I think it's supposed to be live action.
Oh, that'd be fucking cool. And then my one thought was, what if they, and then we have Kang the Conqueror coming in as the next big thing, so it makes sense to set him up to get him going.
Yep.
But my thought was, what if instead of doing one of those characters, they replace it with Kid Loki? And at the end of Loki season one, we get Kid Loki, and then it's Kid Loki for season two, because it's already been greenlit for a second season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not even out yet, and it's been greenlit for a second season.
Netflix, your show is greenlit.
Right. So
I loved it. Great finale. There were a lot of people that were like, oh, it wasn't really that great. I didn't think there was like any action or like that it didn't have like any powerful moments. I'm like, if you didn't think it was powerful, then you didn't watch the last two episodes, especially.
Right.
Like, he sees the kids on the ground and Vision on the ground in that one episode, and it's the puzzle pieces kind of just deteriorating.
Yep.
I think that was the beginning of this episode, right?
Yeah.
That was amazing. And then just like, yeah. And then the whole scene of like, thanks for choosing me as your mom. And then just, I'm going to stand in the window and hold my husband's hand as he dies. You know,
again,
it's like modern day Notebook.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And I just thought it was cool. Like watching all the power come back into her instead of just dissipating. Like it came back and it fixed everything and then it went back in and did that. I was really sad that Dottie was just a random person too. That was my biggest downer was that. That was my biggest red herring downer. So
I also thought it was cool that she did the hex with the runes.
Yeah. Because
it was like, oh, you didn't know these are runes and only the person that casts them can do magic. And she learned that quick.
Yep.
Because she's that powerful and she used it against her. So sorry, Agatha.
Yeah, I wonder if she has a photographic memory and that's what's does it, but
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, that I think wraps it up unless you have anything else.
Here's a gift to you. I wrapped it up.
Cool. Sorry for going a little long tonight, guys. Thanks for sticking with us. Ron and Carl, who stick with us through the whole show every week. We love it. We talked about some stuff that you guys found entertaining. If you guys have any ideas for stuff that you want to hear us talk about, please make sure you post them or let one of us know.
I didn't mean to go long. In fact, we're really good at finishing real quick.
Hey-o. I mean, we're both married, so. Anyway, that's about it. So thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.